Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it.
Are you doing our intro this time?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I really want to say, what is up, my guy? But I won't. I won't say that. So anyways. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Good-ish Girls. My name is Cass.
And I'm Dallas.
And this week we are covering chapters 6 through 10 in the Quicksilver series. So this is episode 2 of our Quicksilver deep dive. So again, this is a spoilers episode. So if you haven't read the book, please do, or at least go listen to it, or if you just want to listen to us yap about it and learn about the book as we go, I guess feel free to stick around. Yeah. Are we ready to get started?
I'm ready.
Dive on in.
Let's talk about it.
Chapter 6 through 10 has – actually, not 6 through 10. 6 through 11. What am I saying? Has a lot of information. So this might be a long one, but – we learn a lot. So to start off, we are following Ceres after she came through the pool of silver with Death himself. Right now, she's laying in a bed. Her body feels like it is stuck in ice. She's extremely cold. And she recalls the only time that she ever felt cold before was when she was 8 and it rained in the Silver City. Now, that is the only time she's ever seen it rain. She remembers the streets flooding and buildings washing away. And that's the only time she can remember ever being cold. Now, remember, they have 2 sons. So I'm not shocked that she's always hot. She can't hear anything. She can't see it. Well, that's a lie. She can see things. Nope. Hold on. Bring it back.
I'm blind.
We're going to get there. She can't see right now, but she can hear. That's what I was meaning to say. And she hears a female voice that she notes that she enjoys and hates. And sometimes she doesn't recognize the language that the female is using. As the time passes, we don't know how much time at this point, her vision starts to come back. And she feels her fingers and everything coming back in. She's not as numb anymore. And she sees a female who is 24 to 25 years old with long blonde hair and braids and vivid green eyes. She can't speak. She can't get any words out. And so the female's like, oh my gosh, hold on. I'll get you water. That's what Master Eskin said I have to do. So she runs over, gets her a little cup of water, and brings it back. The cup is full, right? And she says that that is 4 days worth of water, which she's like, this is going to end in me having to pay some crazy debt to this lady. I'm not drinking it. I'm not doing it. And she keeps telling her, the lady keeps telling her, drink the liquid. So then she decides, I'm going to outsmart this girl. And I'm going to drink the liquid so fast that she can't take it away from me. So she chugs the water, and the girl's like, oh my gosh, let me get you some more. You must be so thirsty. And she fills the cup up all the way again and brings it back to her. And she's like, what the heck is happening? And this is where we find out that she has met Everlane. So Everlane and her are kind of going back and forth while she's trying to get her to drink this water. Which is incredibly shocking to her, right? Because they get 6 ounces a day, and now she's had 2 full cups of water. So that's 8 days worth of water that she would normally have. And she's just like throwing it back, which I thought was crazy when you think about it in that way. So yeah, but they continue their introductions, and while they're talking, Everlane tucks her hair behind her ear, and her ear is pointed, and Saris loses her mind. Her mind starts throwing out words like warmonger, cannibal, beastly creature, no sense of morality. They then discuss what Saris was told about Fae and what is true about the Fae, because Everlane is extremely offended by these words that she brings up. So for the things that Saris was told, that is not true. One is that they haven't had wings for thousands of years. She's always told Fae have wings and they can fly. Hasn't been that way for a pretty long time, Everlane says. Saris asks Everlane to show her teeth, and Everlane's like, absolutely not. That is so rude. I would never do that in a million years. I'm not doing that.
One of my favorite parts about this book. She was like, show me your teeth. She's like, how dare you? Excuse me. She's like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
It's such a like crazy gesture to just be like, show me your teeth right now. But yeah, there's canines there, but she's not going to show them. The other thing is that Fae, or that Saris was told Fae has disease. They're riddled with diseases. And this is where Everlane gets a little mad, because she's like, excuse me, we haven't had diseases in millennia. It's you nasty little humans that bring the diseases into our world. So they have this little moment back and forth right after she's like, show me your teeth. And then Everlane's like, screw you. You're the dirty little thing, not me. And so then to finish that moment, Saris is like, you know what? I'm just going to leave out that Zelvarin moms use the Fae as a scary bedtime story. So like, she's like, maybe I should just end it here. Things are not going well. Like, I'm not getting off on the right foot with this girl. So they kind of switch topics, and Saris brings up that her last memory is a man carrying her through the silver pool after she grabbed the sword and turned it. Everlane explains it's not a man. Absolutely not. It's a male, okay? A Fae male.
Get it specifically. Right.
And he only showed up because the sword was calling to him. So it's not because of her. It's because of that sword. Saris finally decides to share her name with Everlane. So this entire time, she's like, I ain't telling you shit, but show me your teeth. And I want to know all the things
about
you.
Show me your teeth. I'm not paying for this water. Also, you have diseases. Get away from me. I'm only pretend plagued.
Right. So she finally says, hey, I'm Saris. And Everlane goes, wow, that's a Fae name. But you know what? We just breeze over that.
That made me so angry in the book. I read over like 3 times and I was like, oh, that's a Fae name. And then we're going to like, I was like, we're going to move in to the right. Why it's a Fae. No.
She's going
to
be shocked. Nope.
She literally doesn't care. She's like, hold on. Literally, what about everything else?
Literally, Everlane is like, wow, that's a Fae name. And she goes, where am I?
What
and she's like, oh, you're in Yevalia, the Winter Palace. Like, girl, what? After yeah. You just said all these terrible things about the Fae, and now you're going to be like, oh, I'm named after them? Doesn't matter, actually.
Irrelevant.
Where the hell am I? Like, that is just wild to me. That she did that. But anyways.
You killed me. That's like one red flag.
There's another one coming up. So don't worry. So. Then. Right. She says. You're in Yevalia. In the Winter Palace. So we find out where she is. Okay. She's in this Fae kingdom. All of a sudden. A male. male, right? So Faye, with sandy brown hair past his shoulders and dark brown eyes, muscles, barges through the door. And we find out that his name is Renfus. Now, he needs the chain that is on Ceres's neck. And she doesn't even realize there's a chain on her neck. So then she's like touching it. She's like, what the heck is that? And Everlane's like, she needs it. It's only been 10 days. That's not enough time. So we find out how long she's been laying in that bed. It's been 10 days since she came through the pool. And Renfus is like, he should have never taken that off. He needs it. Every time he takes it off, things get worse. He has to have it, and we have to get him out of here. So they decide, all right, fine, we're going to take this chain off of her, which she's like, good, get it off of me. What the hell is this thing? I don't want it anyway. But when he collects the chain, he opens his little pouch on his like waist, and he makes sure not to touch it. He actually asks her to remove it and drop it into it and make sure he cannot touch it. And then he says that the male, needs to return to Kalish. So that's the first time we hear that word as well. Don't know where that is, but he says he's got to go there. So he leaves to go return the chain to the man, male. Wow. See, Everlane would be so mad at me if I was
throwing that water right in your face.
So then Everlane takes Ceres to bathe, which she just wants to go home. She doesn't want to bathe. She doesn't want to get dressed. She just wants to do nothing. Right. She's like, I don't want to be here. And Everlane's like,
she's never bathed. So
yes. Yeah. And Everlane's like, absolutely not. You're going to get in this bath. You're going to clean yourself. You're going to get dressed up, because we've been waiting to get that sword for a very long time. You are incredibly important to us. And my dad wants to see you in an hour. And she's like, yo, who's your dad? And she's like, he is the king of Yavalia. And his name is Belikon Dabara.
Bam. My question is, how did our sweet Everlane sit next to this never bathed human girl for 10 days with her fae sense of smell?
You know, I never thought about that.
Was it patience? Was it kindness?
She's a pretty kind person.
I don't know. Like,
I mean, the more we know about her, the longer they're together, her like sassy side definitely comes out. But
there's like a point though, right? Where she's like, just kind of like, good gracious, this lady smells bad. She's got smell bad.
This girl has never bathed in her life.
I think there's like a bird's nest in her hair.
She has never submerged her body in a bath of water.
Right.
With soap.
She was like, right? What is soap?
She says she's never used soap, but she says she used too much because her hair was sudsing all over the place. How do you know?
My assumption is that she assumed, because right, it got sudsy and she was like, oh, what's happening? There's too many bubbles. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, I guess.
No, it doesn't really go. I wish it would have went into more detail. I don't know why. I feel like I needed more detail about how she learned how to wash her hair.
It's another thing that's kind of brushed over for sure. Wild thing brought up and then they're like, okay, anyways, move on.
I kind of wish that she would have said like, hey, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know how to do this. Right.
No, she's too strong.
I know, but like, I wish you'd been like, what is shampoo? What is this? Right. And then someone would have shown her like how to wash her hair.
I'm surprised Everlane didn't wash her hair.
How could they? She'd have to save up like days of water.
No. Everlane.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Why did Everlane wash her hair? Yeah. I feel like a lot of times in almost these like fantasy series, if they have to take a bath, there's like people that bathe them, right? Right. And like in Akatar, right? Or in Akamath, when she goes to Rhys's court, she has the girls that bathe her.
I think she's more of a secret, like a let's hide her away right now. Like we can't bring like the
That's true.
handmaids in.
That's
Because
true.
eventually, like, there's more people that start like showing up around the area, but
Yeah.
I think they're like,
Yeah.
let's keep her on the DL. But I
Right.
think that Everlane would have helped her if she would have been like, hey, actually,
Help
lady,
me.
I'm sorry I asked about your teeth. Can you help me wash my hair? I don't know what I'm doing.
What do I do?
Yeah, she's like just sitting in this like tub of water. I mean, whatever helps, I
Like a
guess.
toddler, just like splashing around. So Ceres bathes, she changes, and she changes into a dress against her will. Everlane's like, you're not showing up to meet the king in pants. Put a damn dress on. So they get her in a dress, they get her hair done, and Everlane compliments her and says, dark hair is a rare trait among Fae born with high status and royalty. And Ceres says she doesn't give a fuck. Then we move on to the next chapter. So red flag number two. Red flag number two. Okay. She's like, you got a fae name. Anyways. And by the way, your hair is dark, which people, fae are going to be like shocked by this. You are like a fae, like a rare trait of a high-born person. I don't give a fuck. Okay, what, girl? Okay. What do you mean?
if someone came up to me and was like, hey, your name is actually like Faye or some other, I don't know. And they were like, then your hair looks like this. I would stop everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna need you to pull out your history books. I'm gonna need you to break this down. I need your family tree lineage. Are we related? Like, are we related right now?
It's like the you know the meme of, oh gosh, what's her name? The Jennifer from Hunger Games. The one Jennifer.
It's a great question.
Jennifer who plays in Hunger Games.
I only see Jennifer Aniston in my mind.
That's all I can think of.
It's not
and
the right
it's
one.
It's not her.
Can you imagine though?
Anyways, she's on the hot ones where she's eating.
Oh no, I know who you're talking about.
Yes, and she says, "What do you mean?"
She
what do you mean?
Fell and over she's in like, a pretty dress.
Yeah, and she's like freaking out. She's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" That's what I would be. That is the meme that I need slapped up here for if somebody told me I had all these fae traits. I'd be like, "What do you mean?" But no, Sarah's just like, I don't give a fuck.
Don't care
about my life.
Where's my man brother?
Anyways. All right. Okay. Whatever, girl. All right. So that's the end of chapter six. Okay. We move on to chapter seven. And they had to meet the king. While they're passing through the palace, they pass a series of statues. So this is where we learn a little bit of history about the Fae and what they believe in, and even some of the stuff that Zelvarin believes in. So as Everlane passes every single statue, she touches her forehead and bows her head as she passes. So she explains that they are the gods, which Zelvarin does not worship gods anymore. They just have Madra, okay? Ceres says that her mother told her most of the names of the gods were lost as time passed. And Everlane gets pissed because she's like, Madra's been around forever. She knows of the gods. So how dare she let their names fade from time on purpose so that she has more power? How dare she do that? Absolutely not. Disrespectful. Disgusting. And this is where we learn a little bit more about those plague bags, right, from that first little section. So Ceres explains that believers of Madra carry a piece of Madra's hair in their pouch, and they scrape ashes from living sacrifices into the pouch as well. That is a ward against the plague, and if they do that and carry it, they will receive never-ending life. So Madra came in, removed all the gods that all have their own things, and is like, I'm the all powerful, and if you do these things, you're going to get never ending life.
I mean, but honestly, as though, it's a good tactic.
I mean, yeah, but like, as far as we know, she's the only human that has lived that long. So why hasn't any of the other people figured out in Zelvarin that it's not going to do that for them?
Maybe they weren't believers enough. She was like, oh, they didn't believe hard enough.
That, you know what? True.
Did they refresh the hair every 10 years? They let it expire?
Did,
expired was, plug bags.
Was the sacrifice burned while they were still alive, or were they already dead? Because that definitely makes a difference.
Did they have clothes from the third ward on? I don't know. That's going to make a difference.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
See, these are the things. If I was her, I'd be like, actually, it's your fault.
That, you know what?
Do better and you won't die. See?
I want to say something right now, but I'm not sure I should say it. It's a little too political. So we're just going to move on.
No, move on.
So, okay. Back to the statues of the gods. So she points out Styx, which is the god of shadows. She points out Curin, god of secrets. This one I know I'm going to butcher, so I apologize. I'm so scared to say it. Nisenai, which is goddess of masks. And Malaeus, god of new beginnings and dawn. Then we come upon two females that are recognized as one god, Balmithin. Now, this is pulled directly from the book of their story. Everlane says they were twin sisters, goddesses of the sky. Legend says that they were once one god, but a mighty storm came and Balmithin refused to take shelter as it raged across the land. The powerful spirit within the storm was furious that Balmithin did not cower before him, so he lashed her with forks of lightning over and over and over. She didn't die. Instead, she cracked and split into two, becoming Baal and Mithin. Baal is goddess of the sun / day, and Mithin is goddess of the moon / night. Now remember, in Zelvarin, they have two suns, right? Mm-hmm. Which are called Balea and Min. So she remembers seeing these two in the castle on the wall with those names marked as the two suns in the sky of Zelvarin. So it's like a link between her place and her home. Whereas in Yvelia, they have a sun and a moon. So this is also where we find out Zelvarin has no moon. It is always just two suns.
Can you imagine? Not only are you literally two goddamn suns 24/7 all the time, right? No darkness. And then going to another place through a crazy portal and then going, looking outside or going outside and being like, what the absolute hell is that white thing in the sky? Why does it have dots on it? What's happening? Why is it? And then like going the next day and it being a different shape.
Yeah. And she's never seen it dark. Right. She doesn't know what the outside world looks like dark.
And she really is like, help, I'm blocked.
Like there's so many parts that we're going to go through in this little episode where she's like, what the hell? What is that? And what is this? And why does it look like this? Like it's wild. Like it's just so crazy.
So many new experiences.
And I feel like when I first read this, I didn't catch any of that. I was like, oh yeah, she's never seen a moon before. Cool. Like, and now when I'm going back through, I'm like, hold on, wait, what? Like
seen a moon.
Yeah, that's wild. So
do you think that because like in one realm and versus like in Zelvarin, there's mm-hmm. the two suns, and then there's like Baal and Min were day and then night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think that Madra, when she made it all and she was like deciding the history, right? Because she's been around forever, was she like, yeah, it's like two suns or some stuff, just write it down? Or I feel like She probably was like, they're like, what about Bal and Min? Do you want to write like about these ones? And then she was like, I think something about maybe like they're both sons or something like that. Like,
Yeah, but
I
she
think
also
she.
messes up their names.
Right. And she's
She's
like, I
like
don't remember.
Malaya and Min.
That would, it
That's
doesn't
not
tell
their
us, but I feel like
names.
that would be my guess. If she's like just brushing it off, like, oh, okay, just write it down. It's
Probably.
fine.
Probably. Honestly, probably. So she doesn't care. So
It's wild.
then we see one more statue. And this is like the statue of the statues, okay? It is Zareth, god of chaos and change, which we find is very important later on. He is facing the wall. He's not facing the hallway like the rest of the statues. And Everlane bows like normal, touching her forehead, but she also touches his right foot. And Ceres is like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, we're a little superstitious, but to look at him is to draw his attention. So they touch his boot to lead him away from them and to focus on others. They all respect him, but obviously nobody wants his attention. He's god of chaos and change. So they're like, you know what? Look at somebody else. Don't look at me. Like, I appreciate you. I'll touch you, respect you. Don't look at me, though. And when they pass by, Ceres also touches his boot. So for somebody not being a believer, she's like,
Better
I
touch that
should
shoe.
probably touch that boot, actually.
What do you think Zareth thinks when he probably knows, right? Like he knows, he basically like knows all, right? He sees all. He's
Right.
like, God, why the hell are these people just touching that shoe? I don't understand.
He probably knows. He probably knows
Every time
all.
he's like, idiots.
He's like, I'm still looking at you.
I'm literally staring right at you. Go ahead and touch the boot again, boo. See what happens. You look real dumb.
He seems like that.
Wild.
Wild. All right. So they pass through the halls. She says she's freezing. And Everlane's like, oh my God, you're being so dramatic. Stop. There's fires everywhere. And Yevalia is kept at a comfortable temperature by magic. And Ceres is like, I'm sorry, did you say magic? And she's like, yeah. And of course, they breeze past that as well as they enter the grand hall of the Yevalian court.
She's good at accepting change.
She's like, magic? And she's like, yeah. Anyways, let's go in here. Like, I feel like we're learning a lot of really important things, and neither of them care.
Just
But
very accepting. She's like,
I
got it.
guess.
I'll pocket that information.
Yeah, I'll think about it another time.
Magic, cool, got it.
So they enter the hall, and Everlane is announced, obviously, because she is the daughter of Bellicon. The hall is huge. There are hundreds of fae, and there is a large dais made of labradorite, which she mentions. So she's like, it's labradorite. That's crazy. It's huge. But not only is that crazy, above that is a giant skull of a beast hanging. Now, its orbital sockets are each 6 feet wide. It has a horned brow, and its teeth are at least 12 feet long. And she's like, good gods, what is that? And Everlane's like, oh, that's the last dragon who ever lived. It's a legend. And I know that I'm also going to butcher this name, but she does say the name of it. Oh, I'm so nervous to say it. It's
You know,
so
I believe in
long.
you.
Omnamshukri? Omnamshukri? I don't.
It's
It's.
also in the front of the book too. So if I'm pretty sure it is, and like in her list of pronunciations for characters, I'm pretty sure it's in there. So if you are reading the book, you can slip to the front, and if you're wondering how to pronounce any of these names, like for our listeners and stuff, you can check that out. I'm pretty sure. I'm like pretty sure it's in there.
I feel like as somebody who likes to drop little hints, she probably would put it in there. It's the only time it's going to be mentioned in this book.
Except for the bonus chapters.
Right. But that's not in the book. You have to go somewhere else to find those. So like It's a little like hidden Easter egg.
But it's a big egg.
It is, yeah. And as being somebody who either listens to the audiobooks now, mm-hmm. but when I read books, I am one of those people that I just go, a dragon name, a legend. Like,
I go, Om Nom. Dragon Om Nom. Moving on.
Om Nom. Like, I just, I don't retain any names unless they seem really important. And when they're really long like that, my brain's just like, uh-huh.
His name got is it. Kale.
Yeah.
Manon.
Rice Sand.
When you first gave me the Akatar series, I was like, I don't know who this Rice Sand guy is.
People used to get so mad too. They'd be like, it's Reese. It's and I was Reese, like, man. No. His name's Rice. Like
Rice Sand, obviously. Right.
Okay. So Bellicon starts talking. And while he's talking, she notices that the sword that she pulled out of the ground is in front of him. Everlane bows. Ceres does not. And, of course, Bellicon calls her out for it. He's like, you don't bow to king's creature? Literally calls her a creature. And she's like, you're not my king. Which everybody gets real upset. And one of the other court guys is like, ignorance is no excuse for disrespect, which Everlane starts trying to save her ass. And then King Bellicon's he's like, hold on, I kind of like it though. It's been a long time since I've had some open contempt in my court. It's really refreshing. You know what, I'm okay with it until it gets too annoying, and then I'm shutting it down. So he gives like a 180 real quick. He's like, how dare you not bow to me? Actually, you know what, I like this game. Let's keep it up. So, a little weird, but whatever. So, he tells her that during this meeting and after, she will not be a guest of the court anymore. She will be a subject, and that there are rules that she must follow. She only has two rules so far, anyways. One is that she must learn the ways of Yevalia and the Fae. And number two is that she has to fulfill her task. Which she's like, whoa. What task? And when I tell you at this point in the book, everybody in the stadium loses their mind because she interrupted him. They're like, oh my gosh, this girl. Get her out of here. What women is she speaking. Doing?
Oh no.
What the heck? She's like, I was brought here against my will. What task? Nobody's told me this. And he's like, if you weren't brought here, you'd be dead. And she's like, okay, well, anyways, I need to go back to Zilvarin because my brother. And Bellicon finishes her sentence and says, is already dead. He's like, if Madra said she's gonna kill him, she's gonna do it, and he's probably already dead. She is a power hungry with a black shriveled heart, which I think is really a funny thing to say about your sister, Bellicon, which you're all pretty cruel and your brother seems worse than her, but you know what? Go off, B. Go off.
Thank you, that lady.
Speak from the heart. You know what? Whatever, but okay.
Nothing like a little sibling rivalry.
I guess. So we then find out that her task is that because she opened the Quicksilver gate, apparently, is what he's saying. He says, you open the gate, you can work with Quicksilver. And we haven't had anybody that's been able to do that in thousands of years, okay? He says, I don't truly believe that you did it, because I'd be really upset if such a power fell to an unholy bloodline, meaning humans. But he wants to see for himself. So she has to open the gates again, and she has to work with Quicksilver in his palace. That is her task. So, one, she has to learn all their ways. And two, she has to work with Quicksilver for him. She's just like, okay.
Yeah, all right. I guess so, if I don't have a choice.
And so her and Everlane go and sit down. And Everlane's like, do you not care for your life? Why are you acting that way out there? And she's like, you know what? If Hayden's dead, my life means nothing. And that's literally...
20-year-old man child.
Literally another part of the conversation that they also brush over. It says that, and then it cuts right back to Bellicon. And Bellicon calls for the dog. So in comes 6 to 7 guards holding a male that is thrashing around like a rabid animal. And he actually knocks 2 of them off in the process. So they finally get him down to his knees. And another quote directly from the book. There are dark waves hanging in his face. He's in all black, and his tattoos shifted and writhed like smoke across his whole body. It was death. What a good, good description. Literally reading that and writing it in this, I was like, ugh. That first moment when he like really comes back and you get the full like view of him and description, and like everybody ends up being in awe. Mm-hmm. His head throws back, right? Because he's in pain. He's writhing in pain. He throws his head back. His face shows. And everybody in the stadium goes wild. People are screaming. They're screaming Living Curse, Bane of Gilithry, Black Knight, Kingfisher. He lives. Hello, he's returned. Oh my God. It's him. They're like fangirls. Like, half the people hate him, and half the people are like, yeah,
you're just gonna hate him.
Where has he been? Like, they're all freaking out. And Everlane is like, she literally says, oh shit, why is he still here?
Yeah,
she's freaking out. Okay, so Bellicon proceeds to use him like an example. He says, behold, this is the price of folly, madness, and death. The man who haunts your child's dreams, who torched a city on a whim. He says, a whole century has passed since Gilithry, and though our pain has dulled, should we forgive him? And again, the stadium goes wild, and it's mixed. Some of them are like, he's here to save us. Some of them are like, kill him, get him out of here. He should be dead already. Why did he come back? And while this is all happening, Everlane is still freaking out. And it says that she whispers. So like just above a whisper, she says, Malway, which is the old lady, a part of the court that is also sitting up with Bellicon. And Malway turns and looks at Everlane, even from that whisper, while everybody's screaming. And she's like, do something, please. She says, do it now. If you've ever loved my mother, you'll do anything to save him. And while she's trying to convince her, Bellicon is literally getting ready to murder Kingfisher right there. Like, has the sword up, everything ready to go.
I cannot wait to see this in like on the big screen of my house.
Yeah.
Because they got
there's a show.
She got a Netflix deal. It was like a 6-year deal. So this is going to be like a Netflix either series or a movie or something. But it's coming to the screen. And I cannot wait for this scene. And I really hope that it's as dramatic as it is on the pages.
Right. And honestly, with Netflix doing it, Netflix or HBO are one of the two best that could probably put this, right? Yeah. Like,
agreed.
So I hope they do it justice, because mm-hmm. this is like one of the craziest chapters, in my opinion, right? You're like, you're getting to know everybody, things are happening, and it's very dramatic. Like, you feel it as a reader, like you feel the urgency where you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Why are they all freaking out?
Yeah.
So she did a really great job writing it, and I hope they do a really great job translating it to the screen. So, right, Everlane screams out. She's like, help, 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 help. So Malway rises, and she calls out a prophecy for the sword that Bellicon is holding, which is the same sword that Ceres used to open the gate, okay? She grabs Bellicon's wrist, and her eyes turn white, and she says, "The gods must be obeyed, lest House Dabara fall. Kingfisher does not die by your hand, not today." So then Bellicon's, like, pissed, and through, like, gritted teeth, he's like, "Well, what do I do then? Do I just let this criminal walk?" Right? Because he's trying to, like, amp it up with everybody in the stadium. And all she says is, "Return to him that which you have taken from him." And he's like, "I'm not giving him this sword. The sword's mine." And she cuts him off and says, "The pendant." Which then he gets even more upset. He's like, "No, it's mine. It is a powerful relic. It has lots of magic in it. I'm not giving it to him." And she again cuts him off and yells this time, like, voice booming. And is like, "The gods must be obeyed, lest House Dabara fall. The gods must be obeyed, lest the Winter Palace fall."
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of her. That's the end of her prophecy.
Is it?
Like, the whole room shakes. It falls silent.
Mm-hmm.
She lets go of Bellicon, and he's like, "Fine. I can't argue with the gods. Fine, I won't do that."
I have two questions here. My first question is, where did this lady go? Because this is it. We have, like, this super high power prophecy old lady who is, like, the one person who can put this king on in his place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she does her one thing, and then she's, like, gone. Did he offer for, like, embarrassing him? I don't know. And then my other question is, why did she not, like, grab him by the earlobe and, like, bring him down and be like, "Obey the gods, or I swear to God, this house will fall, sir."
Like, so it does say in the book, like, when she starts to get up, he says, like, he looks over at her and he's like, "Oh, Malway, like, rest your old bones.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be done in a minute. Just keep yourself quiet and you can go back to, like, rotting, right? You're so old. Just go away. So she's older than dirt, essentially, and she's like this frail old woman. So one, I wonder if she just does go back to rotting. She's like, "My job here is done. I've said my prophecy. Time for me to go sleep for, like, another 100 years. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's
she's just napping. It's fine. Yeah. And then I also have a question, because did she get her prophecy, like, when she's like, "Okay, I need a prophecy. Here we go. Like, just roll my eyes back and, like, get one." Or did she pull this prophecy out of her ass to help everyone?
So it does say that she has to touch a person to get a prophecy, which is why she grabs his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and since her eyes turned white, I believe that it honestly is a true prophecy, right? But I wonder if she didn't touch Bellicon's wrist specifically, if that same prophecy would have came about.
I don't know.
Like, I wonder what else would have come.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I think it's real. I mean, it goes pretty perfect with the rest of the book. So I think
I'd like to see her in the next book.
I hope so.
Like, go visit her.
I kind of like her. I kind of want to know more about her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Everlane to have such this, like, close connection with her, or even just, like, threaten and be like, "If you loved my mother, you would do this."
Yeah. Like, who are you?
What's the history there? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish they would expand on that. So I hope she does.
Be nice. I would like that.
Yeah. So the stadium goes silent, right? He's like, "All right, I'm not killing him, whatever." A voice rings out and says, "Send him back to the front, make him fight, make him finish what he started." And this is where Renfis comes in again. And we find out he's the general of the army, and he is supposed to be on the front lines right now. So Bellicon is like, "Why are you here? You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be on the front line. Why are you coming against my orders?" And he's like, "I'm not. Your order was to win the war by any means necessary. And if you want me to win, I need Kingfisher."
We all need Kingfisher to win.
obviously, everybody needs a little Kingfisher in their life. And so Bellicon is like, okay, all right, you got me there. You can have him, but he has to stay a week to help Saris. Once he finishes his week in the forge with Saris, he's banished from my court. Get him out of here. He goes through that gate of silver. He's done. And they're like, bet. Okay, no problem. So they let go of him. Renfist runs forward and fastens the pendant around his neck. And they all exit together. Now tell me why Renfist couldn't touch the pendant earlier, but he can touch it now to put it on him.
Do you think it's because Saris smelled really bad? And he was like, I don't really want to be near you. Can you please put it in the bed?
Oh my God. I didn't think about that.
I just thought of it right now. He's like, ugh, I don't really want to go near you. Just, I don't want to touch anything that you've touched.
Wow.
And then they like went and washed it. Maybe. Now I can put it on you, Kingfisher.
Wow.
The book doesn't say it, but Ren. I'm like, I'm all right, thinking.
Okay, sir.
No,
I'm sorry. Whatever.
Can't blame anyway. Him. He's never taken a bath in her life.
That's true. Yeah. So the boys exit, and Everlane is like, we're leaving too. So she grabs Saris. She's like, I want to leave. And her dad's like, okay, you can leave. Bye. She has to ask to leave, which I find really weird. But, anyways, so they leave the hall, and Everlane is furious. She's like, why the hell is he still here? And how dare you let him get that far to almost killing him? And Renfist is like, yo, I was jumped by 8 guards before I could even get into his room. What do you want me to do? Like, they beat the crap out of me. Like, he's got a black eye, a busted lip. Like, he's like, what did you want me to do? And they're like arguing back and forth, right? She's like, you're so stupid, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I couldn't do anything. And Kingfisher finally speaks for the first time. And he says, stop bickering. In between, throwing up in the corner. So he's like hunched over in the corner. They're like arguing like brother and sister. And then all of a sudden you hear this voice that just says, stop bickering. And they continue to bicker, but this time they're bickering against Kingfisher, being like, why would you go through the gate without your pendant on? Why would you do that? And he's like, I had my ring this whole time. It's fine. I'm fine. He's like, I had my ring, and she needed it. And they're all upset about it. So they're having this whole argument kind of back and forth in the hallway. And Kingfisher's just like, I'm tired. I don't want to argue. I want some whiskey, and I want to go to bed. And so Elaine's like, all right, go back to my room. It'll be safe. And she turns to Saris, and Saris is like, how dare you not tell me that your people are in a war? Out of nowhere. She's like, how dare you not tell me in the, like, 3 hours I've been awake that your people are in a war? And Everlane's like, girl, we've been in a war since before I was born. Like, this is normal around here. What do you mean?
Oh, my God.
She's like, there's always a war going on in the Fae. Like, I didn't think about it. But she does leave her with the thought that even in times of peace, there's always a war going on with the Fae. There will be people who pretend to be your friend, but often they're hiding knives behind their smiles. So be ready, because you never know when they're going to send them into your back. And so then she takes her back to her room. Again, another thing that she's like, a prophecy, a very important piece.
Yes.
Rainbow, okay, let's piece. Go to bed.
Well, that's very sad. Anyways. So she's like, you have a fae name. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. And she's like, there's magic. Yeah, sure. Okay, right. Although we're at war, a normal thing that happens in pretty much every realm ever, always. And she's like, oh my God.
Literally. She's like, you have dark hair. You have a rare trait. Yeah. All right. Also, be careful because people will like stab you in the back.
Okay.
Okay. But war?
R.I.P.
Wild. Wild things that she focuses on.
Yeah, I don't know why she's upset about it.
I don't know.
They're not asking her to fight in the
that,
war.
Like, that like part of the makes draft. Me... It like makes me laugh though because they're like having a moment, right? The three of them are reunited. They're arguing, like
throwing up.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. And she finally is like, oh, okay, let's just get back to the rooms. And then Sarah's just like, now that we're alone, how dare you? Like, girl, this is not the time.
You don't call out a fey person you just met who literally has like big canines.
That she won't show her, but you know,
but I'm, you know that they're there.
They're there.
You're like up in her face, like I don't know if that's then. You know that she has magic, so I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'd fuck with her. I don't know if at that point I'd be like. So tell me about this war.
Right.
Very curious.
So brave. Dumb. So dumb. And this is when I remember that she's only 23. So. And I say that only being 25.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm close to that age.
Challenge is like, Cassidy, you're actually like this every day of your life. So I don't know how to tell you this, but you're Sarah's. So
well, no, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh! All right.
it's fine.
You know what, she's not a bad person to be, and if I get my own Kingfisher,
she's still my favorite FMC, so it's
yeah, she's pretty. I would honestly, which is crazy for me because I do be loving Feyre, but I think she's above Feyre for me, so
oops. That is a big step for you.
Oops. So okay,
a big step.
Chapter 8, woohoo.
Let's get it.
We're getting there. So she wakes up and it's dark. So she's like, oh, my blackout curtains must be pulled. Right? Because they don't have nighttime. Daytime. Yeah. So she's like, oh, my curtains. I need to open them. She wakes up, goes to the window. The curtains are open. It is, in fact, nighttime. And she sees stuff falling from the sky that makes her feel like she's hallucinating. It's snow. So, right off the bat, two double whammies. She's like, what is nighttime? And what is snow? Never seen it in my life. Just another preface of weird things that she's never encountered. So, her and Everlane decide to go to the library. Everlane's like, you're going to study up. You're going to learn what Fae is, okay? And she mentions that the library is absolutely beautiful, right? It's got these stained windows. There's stacks and stacks of books. There's multiple levels. It's beautiful. And she mentions that her mom worked in the library in the Third Ward and had unlimited access. But residents of the Third Ward, any other residents, has to petition to visit the stacks of books, and they have to have a token and a recommendation from their employer before they're allowed to enter the library. Which is just another crazy thing about Sylvarin in a way that Madra is controlling who gets what information. Mm-hmm. But since her mom worked in the library, she also had unlimited access to the books. So she grew up reading, which is kind of interesting. So she's like in love with this library.
Do you think Hayden went with them? Because she doesn't mention that.
Mm-mm. I honestly, Hayden didn't do crap.
Well, that's not like, but like he was probably with, because he's 3 years younger. So like if she was a kid, he was probably a lot younger. So I feel like he was probably there, but I thought it was interesting that she didn't mention his presence.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if he can read.
Probably not. He's a Nepo baby.
I'd like to know in the next book if Hayden can read.
Can you answer that question, please?
Give me the outline, please. I'm gonna need that information for myself.
Oh my gosh. So we meet Rosarius, I hope I'm saying that right, who is the librarian who is just reappointed. And he seems to know Everlane pretty well, so they kind of, you know, chat back and forth. And he finds out that Ceres came through the Quicksilver. And so he's like, ah, so you opened it. You're an alchemist. And Lane's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't know that for sure. And he's like, didn't you say that she was holding Solas, which ends up being the name of the sword? And Lane's like, well, yeah. She's like, okay, well, the only people who can hold Solas are alchemists. And Lane's like, well, she's not Fae. That every alchemist has been Fae. And Kingfisher strolls in and says, she must have a drop of blood then. And this is where he comes into like
hair
actual conversation. Yeah. I'm like,
and Lane, the name.
You're telling her all these things about her being Fae, but you don't believe that she can be an alchemist. Okay, hypocrite, whatever. So Kingfisher comes in, and this is where we start to see his personality and who he is, which I love. So I'm not gonna lie, there is quite a few parts in here where it is their direct conversations going back and forth, because I feel like you really need to like know their like, I don't know, relationship. It's pretty cool to see it develop. So after Kingfisher says she has a drop of blood, Lane and Fisher start bickering back and forth and about how he shouldn't be around the court by himself. Like, where's Ren? Blah, blah, blah. And Fisher's like, I'm safe. I have a sword strapped to my back. And Ceres is like, oh, yeah, there is a sword strapped to your back. And he darts his eyes over to her and says, it's rude to stare at a man's hardware.
Is it, though?
Is it rude?
Is that fake custom?
So she quips back and says, don't worry, I wasn't planning on stealing it. It's not very impressive. Looks more like a toothpick to me. Nice. And Kingfisher glares. At this point, Ren has walked in, and he's already laughing because he heard what she said. Kingfisher glares, says, the sword has slain thousands. And she said, I wouldn't have thought that. I don't think that's anything to brag about. You should probably get it looked at.
I cannot tell you how much money I would pay to have Kingfisher glare at me. All my monies. Sell my car.
Put your hand around my neck, pin me down, and glare at me. That's it. That's all I need in life.
I can call I'll back talk if you want. I don't know. Like, whatever it does, it's fine.
There are some crazy things that come up in their conversations, so you know what, I'm all about it.
I'm here for it. 100%.
So they keep talking, and Lane's like, Ceres has to learn about Fae history and etiquette before, you know, she does anything else. And Ceres is like, I want to go home. And Lane's like, well, it's too late for that. Everybody at home is probably dead. And Ceres is like, do you have a brother? And do you love your brother? And Lane looks at Kingfisher and says, yes, though it's complicated. And Kingfisher says, there's something to be said about that.
Ba-bam.
There's a little bit of Easter egg in there. And Kingfisher's a little hurt with her response. So Fisher is then like, all right, you know what? I'm going to tell you all the stuff that Lane wants you to know so that we can get on with this, because I want to take you to the forge. Let's get this over with. I don't want to spend a whole week with you. So he's like, they're not going to tell you this because they want you to behave, but there's a chance that your people are still alive. And he calls her human. It's only how he addresses her, human. So he's like, there's a chance your people are alive, human. He says, Madra used Solas, the sword, to seal the pathway a long time ago. But since the sword has been returned, a war is going to come. The pathway could not have opened without an alchemist. So that means that she is an alchemist. She doesn't need to read up and figure it out. She is one. He's like, you are one. And Bellicon will send warriors soon to Madra since she cut off his trade lines years ago by closing the gates. So you kind of get this little hint of why Bellicon is so mad at her right now. Because that's how he got everything he needed to aid his army in the war and how to get his armies there. But yeah, so there's a little bit of history. So he's essentially filling her in on all the things that they want her to sit down and learn. And he's like, here's bing, bing, bang, boom. Let's get it over with. Let's go. He also says, though, that there is a rumor of the Dianthus heir in Zelvarin, which is a Easter egg for later. So he wants to see if they can find that, and that Madra will probably have anybody and everybody join her army if Bellicon does send warriors, because she doesn't have enough right now. He's essentially saying, if your family's alive, they're going to be joined in the army at some point. Like, she's going to put everybody in the army, so be aware. Again, he mentions that he took off his pendant, put it on her to walk through the gate, and that he had the ring that protected him. That's why he could take off the pendant. And in this conversation, he ends it with, have you ever channeled metal's energy before? He has two questions for her. That's the first one. And at first, she kind of is like, what do you mean? And he's like, you would know. You would know. And she recalls every time that she has, right? The gauntlet talking to her when it hit the quartz. Her spinning the dagger on the table at home and her melting the other dagger away into silver. So she says, yes. And he's like, great. Have you ever worked in a forge? And she's like, oh, I know my way around a forge. And he's like, great, let's go. And that's the end of that chapter. So they hit you with all of these facts or all these things that are essential, right? That thankfully we didn't have to sit chapter after chapter after chapter of her being reading books, that he's kind of just like, here's everything you need to know. All right, let's get working, because you're definitely an alchemist. So Lane gets upset about that, but you know, it's whatever. Lane seems to be upset all the time, but it's fine.
So I think she's just very used to having like things the proper way, like the way that she needs them to be, right? I don't want to say like control freak. I just think she's like used to like being in the position that she is of power, like the king's daughter, right? So this is the princess, and she's like, no, like this is what I said we're doing. Like this is the plan. This is the plan that I made, and we're gonna do it. And he's like, actually, no. Bro, we're not.
Everything she says, he's like, no.
Yeah, and then she's got this like stupid human arguing with her every 2 seconds.
True.
She's like, dude, what is happening to my day right now?
She's like, just do what I say.
Yeah, just do what I say. Sit down. Just read a book. You'll be fine.
Oh my gosh.
She's a little stressy. She's stressed.
Oh, yeah. She's honestly, she kind of annoys me, but.
I didn't see that coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. She's stressed, yeah. Cassidy. She's got a lot going on.
All right. I mean, I guess, yeah. She's definitely not my favorite character in the book. But yeah. There's somebody later on that I really hate a lot more, so it's fine. She's not as annoying though.
I do know who you're talking about. This time for real. 100% bet money on it. Know who you're talking about.
But yeah, she's not as annoying as some of the other characters. So, yeah. All right. Chapter 9. Okay. While they're walking to the forge, we find out that there is no written account for the alchemist process. And there's no essential beginning of the process either, right? Kingfisher's like, you just go in the forge and you should be able to figure it out. And Lane's like, no, she needs to read. And he's like, what is there to read? There's nothing written down about this. They just felt it and they did it. So they're kind of arguing still along the way. And again, he says, all right, O'Shaleth, which is the first time we hear this word. He says, Lane is not going to let this go until I give you the cliff notes. So again, he comes in with the cliff notes for Faye. And he's like, bing, bang, boom. Here we go. She is the only human in Nivalia. Okay. He's like, this is a distinct pleasure. You better appreciate it. You're not safe. There was a time where humans were everywhere in Nivalia, but then the Fae became cursed and they got their canines, which they used to drink all the humans dry. We find out that this is the blood curse and it was lifted. So they don't need blood to survive anymore, but they still have the canines, which is why they have those teeth. They don't use them, though. At least, not these ones. Lane gets real upset. She's like, you're an asshole. How dare you just, like, spit this stuff out at her? And he says, did you spend the last century forgetting what a piece of shit I am? The Bane of Gilthry, the Black Knight. And she says, you're my brother. And she says, sometimes I wish you weren't. So Kingfisher says, careful, little sister. We don't want to spill all of our secrets in one go. To which she responds, fuck you, and walks away. Which, that line, I'm like, ooh. Yeah, I mean, he is kind of being an asshole right now, right? Like, everything he's doing, he's like, I just want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to get out of here. But she's kind of also the same way. They kind of have that in common. They're just acting about it in a different way.
Yeah, they're like true siblings.
Literally. Yeah.
She's like, everything needs to go my way. I sit and read all the time. And he's like, I'm doing this right now. But also, like, he's been gone for a long time. You know what I mean? He has 1 week. He's 1 week to figure this shit out.
Right.
And then he has to go.
That's something that does come up later that Ren brings up. He literally has a conversation with Lane where he's like, he hasn't seen anybody in like a century. Cut him some slack, right? Like, he's different. We know that. But like, girl, really? So it's a whole thing. So this is where we start to see that argument really like building. Mm-hmm. So Ren and Saris start to follow Lane. But Kingfisher is like, Saris, you don't want to go with them. You want to come with me and I'll give you all the secrets in the forge. I'll give you everything you want, O'Shaleth. And she's like, what is that name? Stop calling me that. And he's like, it's a type of butterfly. We call them Osha for short. They hatch and live and die all in one day. And the cold kills them very fast. And he, at one point, even looks at Ren and is like, isn't that right? And Ren's like, enough. Right? So even Ren's getting annoyed. He's like, stop. Okay? So she decides, you know what? I'm going to go with him because I want to know the secrets. And Ren goes back to follow Lane. And this is where one of their first conversations happen that you really see their dynamics, which this is one of my favorite. I don't know why. Oh, it makes me laugh every time.
This whole part of the story.
It makes me laugh so much. So they walk up to the door of the forge. Okay, it's this ginormous door. Looks like it hasn't been opened in forever. And Saris goes, should we knock? And he's like, sure. He kicks the door in and says, knock, knock. And then he goes, I don't think anybody's home. And she's like, I don't want to go in first. What if there's magic in there? And he turns. He puts up both of his hands, opens his eyes wide and goes, not magic. Literally in the book, the way she wrote it makes me laugh so hard. So yeah, he's like, oh no, not magic.
Yes.
And she's like, ass. He calls her coward. He's like, it's not warded. She goes, how do you know? He's like, because I'm magic. And she's like, what about you is magic? And he said, everything.
Literally everything.
My sword, my skills, my personality. And she says, your personality is trash. He says, bait me and see what happens. So that's one of the first conversations they have. Yeah. And I It's one of my favorite. It makes me laugh every time I read it. I love it. I love them.
I like to think that I would not act like her and I would just be like, okay. But then I know that my toxic trait is, even though I am like 5'2", I will get into a man's face that is above 6 foot. And I will speak my mind. Right?
You pull him down by his chain. You're like, get down here. Hold on.
Sir, it's the earlobe. Down here. You know, but like, I don't mess with people my own height. They're scary. Right? But like tall, it's like tall men. I'm like, I have something to say to you, sir. So I feel like I would.
Listen here.
I feel like I would not want to act how she's acting. And I would just be like, oh, tell me again. Like how dumb, I'm a dumb human. No. Like, it's fine. Call me up. What was the name? Oshelia? Okay, got it. Like, but then I know that I would just be an absolute like bitch to him.
The you know whole what? Time. He would like it. So
he would.
He would really like it.
The tall men like it. They say that they don't, but they do.
Oh no. He says he likes it. Mm-hmm. He's about to tell us how much he likes it. So they go into the forge. It is completely destroyed. And she's like, can you just use your magic to like clean this up? And he's like, I'm not a witch. I don't do spells. I don't do cheap magic or tricks. My magic abilities are sacred and used for a righteous purpose. And she gets incredibly embarrassed. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't think about that. My bad. I've insulted him. And she asks some other, like, doesn't matter question. Like, she's just trying to make small talk. And he's like, ask me a real goddamn question, right? I told you to come here. I told you, I tell you that. I give you all the secrets, and that's what you're going to ask me? So she's like, all right, well, what does your chain do? And why are you completely unhinged without it? He smiles and says, straight for the jugular then, little Osha. Ruthless. I like it.
Yes.
He says, to explain my pendant, there are things that you need to know first that Lane has not told you. So let's start at the beginning. The Quicksilver pools are pathways that connect different realms, and Quicksilver itself is volatile. Some of our elders believe it possesses a low level of sentience, which is why it speaks. The stuff is dangerous. Quicksilver comes into contact with bare skin, and it can push any living creature beyond the boundaries of sanity. So she recalls Heron, right, losing his absolute mind and the things he was screaming and saying. And so she says, do alchemists inherit their abilities, or is it all about blood? And he says, everything is about blood, human. Now, do you want to know about the pendant, or are you just going to keep interrupting me, right? Because she's like, I want to know about this. And then he goes to tell her, and then she just keeps like interrupting and being like, wait, actually, I have another question. And he's like, no, shut up and sit down and listen. So he's like, my mother gave me this pendant, which is a relic. He was 11, and it was the night before they left the Winter Palace. She knew that he would need it for later when he came of age and joined Bellicon's army. He was called to travel between the gates, right? Because he has his pendant, which is one of the most powerful. And in the end, he was forced to travel a pathway without it once, and the Quicksilver took to him. A healer managed to draw most of it out once he made it to the Winter Palace, but he has a few bits left, which is why he has to keep the pendant on at all times, because it blurs his reality. So a lot of other people have to wear just their relics when they walk through the gates of silver, right? That's it. But for him, since he has Quicksilver in him, he has to have it on at all times or he will go mad. So that kind of explains what his little dog collar is what Bellicon calls it, right? He's always got it on. And it's important, right? You take it away and he's a mess. So she asks then, well, why did you give me the relic? And he's like, I don't know how many times I have to say this. This is the third time I've said this, but like, I have this ring, right? And he's like, you would have died if I didn't give it to you. And she's like, well, why don't you just let me die? And he essentially tells her, well, you're just a really important pawn that I know I could come back and use and get myself to safety. Because she's the only person who can open the portal, right? She's the only alchemist in thousands of years. So he's like, human or not, I was bringing you back. And I'm going to use you to get what I want from Bellicon. So they have that little moment. They continue to clean into the night. And Ren comes in to check on him. And he's like, what the hell? He's like, you haven't done any work. And she's like, well, we had to clean all this mess with our hands, right? We had to pick it up and scrub the floor and blah, blah, blah. And Kingfisher conjures his shadows. It covers the entire room, right? It goes black for a second. And when it goes away, the entire room is clean.
I can't. It's and one of my favorite scenes.
She says, you monster. And he goes, I just wanted to see if you knew what hard work was. Also, I told you I was magic. He winks, and then he's gone.
Whatever what? I would pay for him to
What a little me, shit.
I would pay double for him to wink at me.
What a little shit.
The literal best.
He's like, I'm going to spend all day with her. Make her work on her hands and knees.
Yep.
And then Ren's going to be like, what the hell are you guys doing? And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, gotta go. Bye.
He's like, clean.
What a jerk. What a jerk. But I love him so much.
I feel like I would have picked a different word than monster. I would have said many mean words all right. at once.
Nah. You monster. That's what she said.
I feel like I would have thrown some like a broom,
right?
A dustpan.
Well, he cleaned it all up. It's gone, right? Like before, okay, there was broken pieces of glass everywhere.
There's got to be some item. Find an item. A shoe.
Throws a table. Throws a table.
Get out of here. Maybe clean all day. It's cold out here. I don't want to be cleaning.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
That's too damn bad. Keep digging.
Oh, my gosh. Chapter 10. The next morning, they head to the library. Kingfisher's eating in there, which is a big no-no. All right? The librarian's losing his goddamn mind. Lane is like, you wonder why Bellicon calls you a dog. And Kingfisher's head snaps. His silver in his eye flashes, and he's like, I don't wonder. I know why he calls me that. And Ren says, it's because of his deep loyalty to the crown. And Kingfisher retorts with, it's because I bite. Which I love. I love him so much.
Yeah.
So Lane yells at Kingfisher, turns into a whole argument. She's like, why are you always acting this way? Why can't you just be good? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, you know what? Treat me like the dog I am. Throw me outside. Make me go eat with the other dogs in the stable. Actually, you know what? I'll do it for you. So he gets up, takes his stuff, and he leaves. And she's like, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. And he's like, I'll see you later, Osha. I'm done. So Ren reminds Lane, this is the part, that he has nowhere to sleep. He has nowhere to eat. He has no place that is technically his home in this palace. And he hasn't been around people for 110 years. In all caps, I wrote, cut him some slack, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't be mad at him when he's lived the worst life for the last 110 years. Like, he's coming back to not normalcy, mm-hmm. but he's trying to figure out what life is now. And he's like, can you imagine? And she goes, actually, I can. Mm. I spent the first 3 decades imagining in great detail every day. And now I just try not to think about it. But now that he's back, I have to sit here and see what kind of hell he endures every day.
She's sitting at her table.
Not the same.
She's sitting at her table, eating her snacks. I wonder what Kingfisher is going through right now. It's probably terrible. num, num, num.
Oh my gosh, let me go hang out with my friends. Hold on, I have to go.
Yeah, like, she's like chill in the library. What am I Kingfisher's doing right now? This is terrible.
Shut your mouth. What do you mean? This is why I find her truly annoying.
I never really until you said it that way. I never thought about it like that though. You know what I mean? But like reading back on it.
I was like, no, you can't, but okay, whatever. Can't so Ren it. Is like, don't give up on him. Okay. Like things are gonna get better. He's gonna get better. And she makes like a face and she's like, well, and he's like, you already have, haven't you? She's like, well, I haven't, but like, and he's like, if I have faith for him, I have faith in you that you will still believe in him. So this whole moment happens and Everlane says, once Ren leaves, that Saris, or says to Saris, that Kingfisher was the best thing in her life and the only good thing. So now that he's gone, which he's not, it's hard for her to accept it. Bitch, he's right in front of you, but okay.
There.
Anyway, so they continue to study in the library. And this is where we find out what alchemy is. This is where Saris finds out what the heck all this stuff is that they keep telling her about. So alchemy is a form of magic. It's forgotten, long, dead, old magic. Okay? There's three branches of alchemist. Fae, who start to discover the pathways to immortality. Fae, who sought to create an event and transmuting various metals and ores. And Fae, who sought to cure illness and disease. So they obviously are like your Fae number two, or your alchemist number two, okay, right? You transmute metals and ores. And Rosarius, the librarian, tells her that thousands of years ago, alchemists used their gift to alter the state of compounds and transform them into precious metals, which is how they got the majority of their swords within the royals. But there's no record. There's no record of what compounds they used, how they did it. They just know they were successful. Okay. At some point, Quicksilver came into that, and that's how all the realms became connected. So essentially all manners of chaos ensued after. She figures out that she has to activate and deactivate it. That's like the main thing that she has to do as an alchemist. But there's nothing written about it because the second kind of alchemists all live short lives because they went mad and killed themselves. So she's like, what the fuck? Great. I'm so glad. Woohoo. Yay. What do I have in my future? Death.
Where's that oracle at?
Right?
Tell me what's going to happen.
So as they're reading, she then has this like moment where she's like, hold on. Why can't I read these books? And they find out that when the Fae first traveled to the human realms, they took their common tongue, which is what she's speaking in, over. And that's what the humans adapted. Also, Madra uses the common tongue of Fae. So they've been using the same language for forever. And she then asks the golden question, how is Madra so old if she's human? And the only response Lane has is that she should have died centuries ago, and nobody knows what kind of magic or who performed it has kept her alive this long and allowed her to steal the Quicksilver with an alchemy and sword. Because she shouldn't have been able to, right? Mm-hmm. She's not an alchemist.
Yeah.
But this is where Rosarius says, you don't need to be a fae or possess a special gift to close the doors between realms. The sword does it for you. When one pool of Quicksilver is activated, all of them are activated. If you take a sword like Solace and plunge it into the Quicksilver, it severs the energy and it paralyzes it until Solace is removed. So that's the only way that they were able to bring it back is when she pulled it out, right? We know that. But you also find out that every other portal closed. And Lane explains that there were several parties scouting, trying to explore new pathways, and they became trapped where they were, and they were never seen again. And so this is where she asks, okay, wait, if it's been a long time, right? If you haven't had these guys in thousands of years, how old are you? And Lane's like, that's rude as hell, okay? Don't ask me that, but I guess we're kind of friends, so I'll tell you. Okay, so she's like, I am 1,486 years old. Okay, she's like, I was born in the 10th age, I think she says. And so then she's like, well, how old's Kingfisher? She's like, okay, I'll tell you that he was born in the 9th age. Can you take a guess? And so Sarah's just like, okay, maybe like 1,800. And Lane's like, you're close. He's 1,700 years old, or 730 years old. And this is when Kingfisher comes back in and he's like, actually, I'm 1,733 years old. But what's 3 years between family, right? Because he's still upset that Lane is being whatever. And she gets upset about that, obviously. So they have that little moment. And Lane counters back with, to answer your question, any of the Fae that were trapped could be alive, but it's not likely that they died of old age. They are probably dead because of any of the local clans at whatever their place was that they ended up in. So it kind of moves on from that. She ends up going with him into the forge again. And he's like, ask me any question that you want, and I won't lie. And this is where she says, Elroy told me that if I ask the male the size of his cock, he's always going to lie. And she's like, or he goes, oh, it's enough and more to make you scream. And she's like, ha, see, you're lying. And he's like, am I? Am I though? So they have this little moment back and forth where she's like, okay, I'm going to try this. And he's like, bet, I dare you. So then she asks a real question and she's like, did you actually set that city on fire? And he said, yeah, he had no choice. And she's like, well, why? And he's like, I'm not telling you why, because humans are weak and it doesn't matter. Okay, sir. End the conversation. Okay, you got it.
Moving on.
She asks where he was sent to for that time, that 110 years. He approaches her, leans over the table, gets in her face, and says, hell. He then says, hold out your hand. So she does. He puts something in her hand, closes her hand, and puts his hand around hers, keeping it shut. And he goes, tell me what it is. And she starts freaking out. She's like, oh my God, this thing hurts, right? She's like saying, ow. She's like, it's burning, it's hurting, it's cold. And he's like, tell me what it is. And she's like, it's burning and it's cold and it hurts me. She's like, make it stop, make it stop. And he's like, make it stop yourself. And so he's egging her on and she's like begging him. She's like, make it stop hurting me. And he's like, figure it out. And he's like, listen to it, talk to it. And she keeps calling him a piece of shit. She's like, it's saying that you're a piece of shit. And he's like, keep talking to it. Keep talking, because that's not what it's saying. He says, the faster you do it, the faster it will be over. She says, fuck you. And he goes, there you go, you hungry, needy little bitch in heat, begging to be fucked. Ah. Okay, sir, pop off. So she screams, let go. And he screams back at her, listen, there is pain and there is you. Nothing else. Move past it. Figure it out. Figure out what it's saying and show me that I'm wrong. Show me you're tougher than what I think you are. And all of a sudden she hears Anna Rathmore. Anna Rathmore.
Anna Rathmore.
Yes. And she says it out loud. Kingfisher freezes, eyes wide. He looks at their joint hands and she snaps out of it. She opens her hand and sees a tiny ball of liquid quicksilver. And she freaks out. But he's still touching her. He's just not, you know, holding her hand closed anymore. So he's like, calm down. As long as I'm touching you, the pendant covers you. You're safe. And he goes, you passed the test. And she says, what would have happened if I didn't? And they have this whole argument. And he's like, reach for the quicksilver. Speak to it. So she reaches and she can feel it. And she can feel the weight in her hand. And he says, tell it to sleep. So she does. And it goes to sleep and it turns to a solid bead of quicksilver in her hand. His face turns to amusement and he says, I have to say, I was expecting that to go different. And then she punches him in the face.
Yes. Punch him in the mouth.
She's like, you're done, actually. You're done.
Same. Like, I resonate with that.
Honestly, it makes me laugh. I forgot about that part until I read back through it. And I was like, oh, yeah, LOL.
Oh, I can't wait to see that one on the big screen, too. Like,
right?
Right in the right.
The tension. Oh, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be great. I'm very excited for it.
Oh, all right. So, chapter 11. I want you to know that this chapter is called Swallow. That's pretty important to me. Anyways.
For the record.
We start the chapter with Everlane scolding her for punching Kingfisher. And she's like, you're so lucky he didn't act out even worse. And she's like, I feel like he acted pretty bad. He threw her over his shoulder, brought her to her bedroom, threw her on the bed, and yelled, bad human.
Best line of the book. Bad human.
Like, that is wild. So she calls Kingfisher a mindless savage with a shitty temperature. A shitty temper. And everybody knows this. And Everlane's like, stop. She's like, no, it's true. He is. Your brother sucks. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't say that out loud. And she's like, the brother part is not common knowledge. It's really complicated. So this is where we get the backstory. Lane's mother was married to the Southern Lord before she married Bellicon. She had Fisher with her first husband. When Fisher was 10, the king sent his father on a mission to Zelvaren, and he never returned. That's when the gates were still. The king said that Fenrin, Fisher's father, was responsible for the Quicksilver and declared him a traitor to the Fae. Kingfisher always said that Madra was responsible for the Quicksilver, which might be partially true, but he also has never believed that his father was responsible, even though there's no proof against that.
So there's also no proof that his father's dead.
Right. He's just never returned.
Like, second book.
Right.
Who knows? Papa Fisher could come back.
He's probably just as handsome.
I bet. I can't wait. I have no doubt.
So Bellicon, yeah, Bellicon then announces that he's going to be engaged to Lane's mother, which he's never met her. But he's like, the only way to prove you're not a traitor is to marry me. But we find out that Fenrin was very wealthy, and Bellicon needs the money to pay for the conflict breaking out with Sansaroth in the war. So he calls the mother there with all her money and is like, you're going to marry me. And she shows up with Kingfisher as well. And he's like, what the fuck is this? He didn't consider a son from the first marriage. He wanted a son of his own. He didn't want Kingfisher to be the heir. He's like, hell no. So he gets her pregnant, which Fae children are a rare gift. Most couples only have one. So for her to have two is pretty crazy. But then they find out, right, that it is a girl and it is Lane. And Bellicon is mad at Fisher because Fisher used up his mother, right, to make an heir. And we find out that Lane's mother dies during childbirth. So Lane is kind of like that child that nobody wanted. That's why Bellicon doesn't really treat her like a daughter. And he also hates Kingfisher. Because he never got his heir, which was the point. But, I mean, at least, hey, he got all the money he wanted, so he can't be that mad about it.
True.
He
gets money.
So Lane leaves, and Saris hears Anorath Moor. She kind of goes into a trance again. She's like, what the hell? Somebody knocks on her door, and Kingfisher walks in bringing food. And he has twice as much armor on as before, which is noted.
I love this part.
So he's hungover, and he's like, listen, I got nowhere else to go. I'm going to eat in your room. It's pretty nice. Since I brought you back here yesterday, I like it. So I'm going to stay here and eat. And she's already like, just get out. I don't want you here. Get out of my room. They're like opening and closing the blinds, fighting with each other. And he's like, today has rules, okay? No shouting, no throwing punches, no physical exercise. And she's like, Kingfisher, your lip is bleeding everywhere. His tongue darts out to feel the blood, and she feels something rushed through her. This is where my second favorite conversation comes in, okay? So Kingfisher's gaze snaps to her. He says, careful, human. Fae have an excellent sense of smell. You'd be amazed what we can scent floating on the air. She gets extremely embarrassed, right? She's like in her mind stuttering over words. She's like, what? Oh no, I'm not trying. I don't find him attractive. What do you mean? I can't do it. Like, she's freaking out. trying to think of like something else to say to change the subject. And all he says is, "You're making it worse." And she's
I feel like at that point, I gotta walk away. I feel like I gotta go.
So then she blurts out, she's like, "Why don't you get your lip fixed?" And he's like, "Well, I was gonna get it fixed after this, but now I've decided against it. I think I'm actually gonna keep it as a souvenir. And she's like, "Oh, what a time to remember a human girl landing a hit on you and drawing blood." And he says, "I like being surprised. I'm a fan of aggressive foreplay." Which she's eating. She chokes on the food that she's eating. And he leans forward, smiles, and says, "Swallow."
A banger.
Best line in the whole book right there. Literally. Oh, it gets me every time.
I love that she named the chapter that. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a cherry on top. That is a chef's kiss.
It's a pivotal moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I love him. I love him. All right. So then, to make things worse, Lane comes in. And she's like, "Why does it smell like a brothel in here?" And she's like, "If you're gonna spend the night out, horning around, drinking, the least you can do is wash the smell of sex off of you before you come to breakfast." And Kingfisher's literally about to explode. He is like trying so hard not to laugh. And of course, Saris is like, oh my God, everybody can smell it. He apologizes though. He's like, "I'm so sorry. You're right. I will go wash myself. I'll go scrub my balls. I'll see you later." Yeah, good to see you, Saris.
Well, and I laughed at this because he was like, "I'm gonna like scrub all my sins away."
Yeah, like, yeah. That's yeah, he's like, "Let me go scrub myself down." My sins. As he's like dead staring at Saris.
Poor girl.
I love it though. It's like that little moment, but it's like their hidden secret. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
No one will ever know.
So, in the library, right later on, they end up discussing Quicksilver and explain that for her to travel to each pathway, they have to fix their intention on a place to explore wherever they want to go, somewhere new. She just has to think of that kind of place. So, if she wanted to go home, she just has to think of home in that one Quicksilver pool. So, she does learn it's a flawed system, right? You could think of something and end up in a brand new place and die. Okay, that is a chance. But she spends the rest of the evening learning where all the pools are in different places, right? All the different fae places. And she remembers where it is in Madra's palace. And she also learns that the Winter Palace is the largest pool of silver ever documented. And it was crafted to transport full armies. And every tunnel in the palace will lead you to it. But it's hard to find. Now, that's coming from the librarian. He said he spent 5 days trying to figure out where it is. But he can't talk to Quicksilver, which is important to note. Mm-hmm. So, again, she spends the rest of the afternoon, learns where the pools are. She says she wants to go home, but then she says there's something that she must do first. And that's where the chapter ends.
There is.
What a cliffhanger.
It's a good one, though.
It is good. Yeah. The buildup is happening. You learned a lot, right? She threw all this information at you, but we're just at the beginning. So
yeah. No, it's getting good. It's getting really
good. It is. It is. Now that Kingfisher's here, really the book is good. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And our next episode we'll cover quite a few more chapters. We'll dive more into it. We'll get to some more theories for the next book as well as coming out in November.
Yeah.
If you like our podcast, like and subscribe and follow us and check us out on every Thursday. We'll be delivering you a beautiful episode.
Yeah.
Drop your comments what you think.
Yeah. We also have a TikTok and an Instagram. It's Goodish Girls Pod. So if you want to find us on there, see what we're up to, any little mini episodes or fun things that we're doing as well.
Also, if you guys have theories too, drop those as well. Because I love to jump into like the rabbit holes of all of the theories. Yeah. And especially because this is such a new series that's coming out, there isn't really a lot online of theories of where people think the book is going to go, right? Like if you jump into like the ACOTAR series or like even like Throne of Glass, there's a there's a billion different ways, right? But right. I think it's cool that we're getting into it in just the beginning of it, where like we are in, like you guys are as well, kind of the forefront of the theories themselves and like trying to figure out where it's going, which direction Kelly's going to go.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty cool.
Awesome. Yay. We'll see you next week.
Woohoo.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's social casino.